Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I want to share with you the beauty of Thanksgiving, especially as it relates to prayer, focally. So to make it easy, just write the theme to be Thanksgiving in prayer, so that you will not be confused, because I will emphasize more on prayer. Thanksgiving in prayer. How we use Thanksgiving in prayer. Thanksgiving in prayer. I taught you before, and you have seen evidently in Matthew 6, Jesus was told by the disciples, teach us how to pray. Are we together? Church, are you around?
Yes.
Alright. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray, the disciples asked Jesus. In other words, you can learn how to pray. Are we together? If the disciples were confused about prayer, that simply means there's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. Are we together in church? Do we all agree with this fact? That if the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, that simply means they were careful not to make a mistake on how to pray. Possibly then, there's a right way to pray and what? A wrong way to pray. Now, could it be that if you pray wrongly, you will not receive anything from God? Yes. That's why they told Jesus to teach them how to pray. Because if you pray wrongly, you will not receive from the Lord. Are we together? I always tell people that prayer, I don't know if it's a very good way to explain it. Because it has to do with palm wine. Hallelujah to Jesus. They asked me a question years ago. They said, is palm wine a sin? Somebody said, is palm wine a sin? And I said, God created palm wine. So palm wine is not a sin. But the way you take it can be a sin. Huh? I know, as I said, not a sin. Some, I heard, yes, sir. Somebody that laughs by wine, Joshua, yes, sir. Kai. Around that back there. Yes, sir. But the way you take it can be a sin. There are some people that take palm wine. Oh, even palm wine is asking them, why are you still taking me? Is it not enough? Are we together? And someone is asking me, Pastor, what about Gulda and Star? Don't even go there. If you are a serious Christian, don't ask those kind of questions. Are we together? And the Bible said the enemy has come, but what? To what? To what? So anything that steals from you is a sin. Anything that kills you is a sin. Anything that destroys you, you don't need to see Satan physically. If anything is killing you, if anything is stealing from you, if anything is destroying you, it is not from God. You factor it like mathematics. You don't wait to say, give us a yes or a no answer. Like in the university day, somebody asked me, is taking Igbo a sin? That if you can prove to me today, Pastor, I will become a Christian. Show me in the Bible where they wrote, do not take Igbo. I said, listen, I used to feel like some of us took God by surprise, because the kind of sin that people discovered, the kind of sin people started doing, I don't think heaven was prepared for some kind of sin. How would God imagine that one day, the leaf He created for good, people will smell the leaf and say, let's dry it. Let's grind it. Let's put it in paper. And let's just be doing like, how can God just sit down and imagine those things? Some people even shock heaven with the kind of sin they discovered. Are we together? So the Bible said, God will put His law in our hearts, because He knows to the end of iniquity, for iniquity in the heart of a man, there is probably no end. The depth of iniquity that Satan will cause men to explore. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? God imagined that it can be very deep. The Bible said the heart of a man is what? That who can understand it? So He put His law in our hearts by teaching us Christ. That if you know Christ, Christ is everything that is good about God. Christ is the revelation of God, firstly. Christ is light, all right? And true light, you know what is not light. We have Christ who is the true light. And through Jesus Christ, we can factor out what is darkness. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So how do you take off lies by knowing Christ? It is in Christ that the law is fulfilled. Because when you know Christ, ultimately you know the law. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But if you don't know Christ, you cannot tell truly what is wrong from what is right. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 and 5, the Bible said in verse 4, firstly, it says the weapon of our warfare, they are not what? They are not physical weapons, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are long-term lies that have become institutions, make for our cultures and traditions. Strong lies. You know, for instance, one of those big lies that they say if you check the palm of your hands, you can tell how far you can go in life, whether you are this. How many of you have heard those kind of demonic lies before? The one that says if you hit your left leg, it means that there's bad luck. The one that says if you wake up in the morning and see a lizard. You know, all these stupid things. These are strongholds. They are controlling people's lives. Say if a hand, your hand is scratching you, it means money is coming. If this one, how many of you have your hand scratched you and even scratched you and you did not see any kobo? The Bible said if you work hard, you see money. Not when your hand is scratching you. If it's scratching you, scratch it back. Are we together? So many long-lasting lies, they call them strong. This strong, what it simply means is that Satan is leveraging, he's on top of the lie. He's sitting on the lie. The lie has cobweb. Some of these lies are in people's village. Huh? They are in people's village where they say somebody died. After 2 years, we come and pour kai kai on the grave of the person. Some of these stupid demonic lies. Yes, high sounding nonsense like the Bible said. Are you ready for this service? Yes. Because when you are looking at me, it's like you don't want me to say truth. Should I say truth? Yes. Let's quote that part that says, "Hi, it's been a long time we said high sounding nonsense in this church." NLT's rendition of Colossians 2. You know, Satan will steal from you through those lies. They are called strongholds. Demonic strongholds. Colossians 2 from verse 8. In the NLT's rendition, it said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and what? Hi, this church, they are not alive today. Are you people alive?
Yes, sir.
Is anybody doing big boy around you? Look at your neighbor and say, shout for God, shout. There's such a thing as a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes. The Bible calls it joyful noise. Unto who? So it's good. All right, let's read together in this energy. One to go. So these high sounding nonsense, they come from spiritual powers. You see them? They're the ones that will tell you drink but not be drunk. My God. Thank you, Lord. Drink but not be drunk. Meanwhile, medicine says don't drink at all. You know, some drunkards in medicine for years try to curtail it, but they now discover that it's so obvious. Today, medicine is saying you take beyond the normal level of alcohol as it's supposed to be. You know, some of you say there's alcohol in everything. Oh, there's alcohol even in apple, in pawpaw, to make you drunk. You say there's a place I want to be before I talk. I want to be in the realms. So somebody talks now, his brain now shifts to the left side, and he's talking left. They just want something that will shock their heads more. The Bible said there's a demon leveraging on that ideology. And that ideology is what? High sounding nonsense. It doesn't matter who says it. Listen, even if you go and sit with your priest, or pastor, taking alcohol. Are you listening to me? Know that two of you are in sin. You know, one time one of my neighbors told me, he said, sir, I went to drink. I saw my pastor there. Drinking is not bad. I even said they should buy one for my pastor. So it was proving to me that me, I'm behind as a pastor. Because his own pastor, he caught him drinking and he, please buy for pastor. Which man will pastor use to preach tomorrow and say drinking is bad? Hallelujah to Jesus. It's wrong. Medicine calls it bad. Medicine said it can destroy your system. If you are a medical doctor here, if you are around medical field, you remember that disease called intestinal sclerosis. It is wearing off your intestine. Little by little. In fact, there's a drink people call spirit. They still drink it. You see somebody take something, bah! How can it be of God? If you see the effect of that thing in your system, you know, one time I was so disappointed, I saw my name as a drink, Don Simon. I say, my God, thank God it's not Pastor Simon. It's high sounding nonsense. Demons are leveraged on those things to destroy you, cut short your life. They know that your life matters to God. Are you listening to me? So anything that steals from you is from where? Yes. Anything that kills you is from where? Yes. Anything that destroys you is from where? Yes. We can't even start talking about Igbo. You should know that Igbo is not something we should be debating in church. If you want to talk about Igbo, go and sit outside and talk about it. We can't even, it's a shame to say Igbo is sin. It's a shame. Firstly, look at the name Igbo. Secondly, it destroys your system. That one is worse. If they open your system for you, you will not see space, or you will not see. You need touch. It's destroying you, eating you up. You see, some young children, 16, 17, they start smoking and they feed their big boys. We are warning you. Satan wants to cut short your life. He wants to cut. When you don't understand the purpose of life, you'll be doing Dorime. Shut down. Ombule. You don't understand the purpose of life. It's the truth. You see somewhere and they'll be hyping you. A hype man is hyping you. As a child of God. And some people are more hype men. And you know they are bringing it to church now. Jesus na big man. Jesus na big man. Jesus. They are trying to inculcate the culture. Tell those guys to go back to the world. We don't want those kind of things. Kindly speaking. So there are some ideas that demons are the ones that originated it. The Bible said, that come from what? Human thing. You think you are the one thinking it. It's from the devil. He just said, I said, I just feel like Seba. I just feel like say, make I carry this Igbo take. It's not you that thought like that. It's a demon that is controlling your thinking. Like David. He came out from his palace and saw a woman bathing. I said, let me come again and see some. It's a demon. And the demon said, kill the husband. Kill the husband. Let me bring it to church now. You know that this man and this person, they are about to get married, and you are liking the same man. He's a demon. It's a demon. You know that this man and this woman, they want to get married. You now begin to develop appetite for the same man they want to marry. Oh, sorry, that wants to marry. See, I don't know why I'm feeling love so much for Pastor K. I don't know why. There are people like that. These are demonic thoughts. They want to cause confusion in the atmosphere. That's why you see ladies and some guys in church, they'll start behaving like evil spirits. Just sit down and be looking at, even during worship, they'll be eyeing somebody. See, they look the boy, stupid girl. No peace of mind. Demonic thought. Satan just wants confusion in the atmosphere. Confusion, problem. You just wake up in the morning, Satan reminds you of what your neighbor ever did. One time. And say, it's time to revenge. It's time to revenge. This your neighbor, every day is taking me for granted. It's time to revenge. Then maybe you go outside, a bed mistakenly hits. Before you go outside, a bed mistakenly hits your window. You now say, nah, that neighbor. You come outside, nobody. You now see your neighbor coincidentally walking inside their room at that moment. Say, hey, these idiots don't come again. I go show who I be. You keep that in your heart. Satan is called the accuser of what? The brethren. He likes trouble. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the accuser of the brethren. He likes trouble. He's the one that will cause you to be offended at things you should not be offended at. You sit down and be planning somebody. It's not you that is having problem with the other person. But you sit down and be saying, I wish sin and me, this person try. There are people like that. I wish sin and me. You want to buy the trouble. Before you know, you throw comment. Leave them now. Wait till you do. My mouth not there inside. My mouth not there. You they mad. Now me they talk to. You've been trying to buy the problem. You just want to buy it. Says that he's called the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says, as long as it is within thy power, live what? Peaceably. Live in peace with what? All men. All men. He's the Prince of Peace. As long as it is within your power, live peaceably. If you're offended, you'll be blinded. Your judgment will be wrong. You'll just be seeing things wrongly. Even good things, you call them bad. Even good friends who have been good friends for many years, you call them bad all of a sudden because you're offended. Offense will make you say things that you're not supposed to say. Some of you have built relationships for many years with good people. Just after one thing you misunderstood, you start calling them all kinds of names. Satan will make you lose very, very strategic relationship. True offense. True disunity. Relationships that will be a blessing to you in the future and to your children. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He's made you to lose them. Because you are offended. Hallelujah to Jesus. All of these ideas, you think it's from your thinking. It is from spiritual powers of this world. From demons. Rather than from Christ. They negate the ideas of Christ. Are you listening to me? So where we were in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. And I said strongholds are lies that form traditions and cultures and institutions. Are you listening to me? Lies. I was sharing with somebody yesterday. I said, I hope you know that the white man, I think it was in the wedding. I said, I hope you know that, yes, the white man has really caused a lot of wonderful civilization and we are grateful to God for them. But I said, they don't know everything. It's not everything they know. I was sharing with them that you have to understand that knowing Jesus is ultimate. You know, people don't say any good thing in Africa. I say a lot of beautiful things in Africa. The problem of Africa today is not even the people. Alright? We, the citizens of the country. It is chiefly the government. If we have the opportunities of this, like these other guys, we'll be 10 times better. Do you people agree with me?
Yes, sir.
We'll be 10 times better. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said to them, for instance, we know Jesus. For instance, in Africa, you hear our parents, we don't have all the medical facilities yet. They will say the child will survive. Didn't you survive? Jesus replaces health insurance in Africa. I'm not saying don't go to hospitals, but for many homes where they didn't have medical care, the parents will be speaking Jesus over the children till you see how you most of you are today. The best they can do sometimes is dogoyaro. But see where we are today. They predicted COVID to kill us. They say our bloods, Bill Gates and his wife said our blood will be spilled on the streets. That was their prophecy to us. They said in Africa, they don't listen, their blood will be spilled on the street. You know, today is divorce and our blood is not what? Spilled on the street. You see that? Why? Because when he said it, we spoke Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
So have you seen friends that travel to UK after 2 weeks, they are down telling you that you don't understand life. They say, you people are just going to church too much in Nigeria. We understand God. God is not in church. God is just the universe. As you walk and talk nice to people, and that's just God. Just smile, it is God. Just do it. Because to them, you know, when you are in Africa, most people's Christianity in Africa is inspired by hunger. Hunger. You see, majority of the people in church are praying for what to eat and drink. So when they say they've made it in life, they are not saying they've known Christ. They are saying now they have a house and a car. If you even talk about destiny in Africa, fulfilling destiny, people are thinking about the day they will have a house and a car. The day they will have money to take care of their family. For instance, I say, I declare you are fulfilling purpose in the name of Jesus. Somebody will shout amen, but in his heart, what is seen as purpose? It's not pushing what God has put on his head. They don't even understand the purpose of their life. That is why you see that most people in Africa, when they want to pray, their prayer is not guarded at all. It is rugged prayer. It's either die, 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 or I make it, I make it, I make it. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
But chiefly, you see them trying to hustle. In fact, very few people really want to fulfill purpose. Many just want to hustle. Anything that brings money, we'll put our hand inside. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, such a person now, when he travels to the UK, and he gets a good job, and he has his own house, and car, and a wife, and children, and there is no problem anywhere, he begins to wonder why we are following Jesus. Because the reason why he was following Jesus has been fulfilled in the UK. So why does he need to follow Jesus? He never understood Jesus. He never understood the purpose of Jesus. That's why some of them, when they travel there, they begin to talk down you guys here. Because they think you are pursuing Jesus for your belly. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not a function of what to eat and what to drink. Because many people are living for that. All their being is towards what to eat and what to drink. They are walking in life. They are hard working. Everything Christianity is just to the end that they have what to eat and what to drink. But the Bible says the kingdom is what? Righteousness. What? Peace and what? Joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. You see that? There is peace beyond understanding in John 14 that Jesus gave us. Peace beyond human phantom. Meaning everything is not figured out yet, but you just have this peace on your inside. You know it is well. Like the songwriter said, when peace like a river surrounded my soul. Hallelujah to Jesus. Peace beyond human understanding. I mean, if you've got this peace, you'll not be burning your face this morning. No matter what has happened to you before. Say, I've got peace. Peace beyond human understanding. That peace is anchored on spiritual understanding. That Elisha can be amidst soldiers coming to kill him, yet he was still smiling and okay. Why? Because he was not seeing the soldiers, he was seeing angels. So there was a spiritual understanding that his confidence was anchored upon. You see that? A spiritual understanding, a spiritual reality. And this understanding is not just virtual, some fictional thought. When we say we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, it is tangible. The Bible says the things which are not seen are more real. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So we say we believe in the power of God. We're not talking about some fictional thoughts. No, it's real. It can get the sick healed. It can bring the dead back to life. It can cleanse the lepers. It can cause you to be successful. It can even cause HIV to go. You know, someone came to me years ago. He said, sir, blah, 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 blah. And it's my fault. I said, if you don't forgive yourself, you will not receive healing. I said, forgive yourself first. You've made the mistake, forgive yourself. Cried, cried, cried. I said, forgive yourself. People think they need to cry their life out before they receive. In fact, see, before you even came to God, he has forgiven your sins. Are you listening to me? You just need to come to him and acknowledge that you know that he has what? Forgiven your sin. And that your iniquity, he remembers them no more. It is one thing, if you truly believe these things, you will have to forgive yourself. Many people that think they know they are Christians, some of them don't forgive themselves. They just know blah 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 blah. But they don't forgive themselves. You see them still talking with the mistake of the past. You got to forgive yourself. That the sky is there does not mean it has any effect on your life. When Jesus resurrected, he said, put your hands in the sky. They could tell that this was the same body that was nailed. But when they put their hands towards that hole where they nailed Jesus, he didn't say, it's painful. So you see, the scar was there, but it didn't have any effect on Jesus' body. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So that the scar is upon you, that you can see the scar, does not mean it can affect you. The scar from your past cannot affect you. So don't allow Satan remind you of your past and affect you so much because of the scar. Are you listening to me? Very important. Tell somebody, forgive yourself. And I told the lady, I said, if you don't forgive yourself, you cannot receive healing. You have to forgive yourself. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he said, by his stripes we were. Not going to be healed. We were. A long time ago, we received our healing in Christ Jesus. And what we do today is to acknowledge in thanksgiving. Somebody say amen. If you truly know you have received your healing, what do? You thank the Father. You thank Him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You thank Him. Glory to God forevermore. So like I was saying, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, through the knowledge of Christ, we subject every thought that seems to what? Raise itself above the knowledge of God. Let's continue our focal point today. Thanksgiving and prayer. Ephesians 1:3 established that we have received all the blessings of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
We've been blessed with what? Every. I don't like the way you people don't understand. You know, you don't act like you understand what you just read. He said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed past. It's not futuristic. Say, I've been blessed. You got to understand this. You've been blessed with all, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many of you are in Christ Jesus tonight? The Bible says every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is yours in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are where the blessing is. See what the Bible said in Matthew 16 from verse 16. Let's read it very briefly to show you the power of the Christ. It says, Simon Peter answered and said, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next part of scripture. Then it says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. You see that? That's the first thing Jesus said. He said, you are blessed. For knowing that I am Christ, you are blessed. How many of you know Christ tonight?
Yeah.
You are blessed.
Yeah.
You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. It may have not manifested yet. It will soon show up. As you keep on acknowledging, you will see it. The Bible said that the communication of your faith may be made what? Effective. By what? The acknowledging. As you keep on acknowledging, your faith becomes strong. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believe and so we speak. Like our fathers of faith, they believe and they spoke. They didn't see it in manifestation before they spoke. How many of you believe that Jesus died for your sickness, your sin, and etc.? So you declare, I am free from sickness. I'm free from sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The day you were born again, you were free from sickness. You were free from sin. You say it. Don't wait to see it before you say it. Say it because you have seen it in the Word. The first sin means manifestation physically. Don't say, when I live holy, I will now believe that I'm above sin. You have a new nature. This nature cannot sin. Say it like you know it. Say it because it's true. Listen, some people just have some virtual human thinking that comes from the power of demons in this world that suggests to them that they cannot live above sin. That is why they can't live above sin. Whose report shall you believe? Oh, people of God, whose report shall you believe? If God says you are above sin, why is any human being suggesting to you that God is a liar? If anybody says anything that is anti-God, that person is partnering with Satan.
Even if you don't see Satan at work in the person manifestly, you can just predict that that person is partnering with the devil. Take for instance, God Almighty. He says to us in Matthew chapter 4. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is God your Father?
Yes, sir. As many
that have believed in his name, to them he has given what? The rights, the power to be called what? Sons of God. If you are a son of God, wave your hands and say hallelujah. Now, if you are a son of God, your Father say be perfect. Meaning, the word be there means he's, the perfection is already in your nature. He's calling forth what's already in your nature to become kinetic. What is potential to be kinetic? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So when he said be perfect, he's calling you into action that you can live in perfection. You can act like a perfect man. I hope you are believing me more than Chris Brown this morning. Or Two-Face that told you that nobody can be perfect. If you said nobody can be perfect, prepare not to be perfect. And that's why most people like that, we are not insulting them, they are not living the life they ought to live. We'll go to the media every time and see stories that they've divorced and the rest. Do you know you can have a happy home 50-something years? 50-something years? Glory. You know, one time I was speaking with a preacher, I said, many people have crisis in their home because they prophesied it from the beginning. You tell them that, see, I promise you, you must have plenty crisis. Sometimes you may have one or two misunderstandings and just come into conclusion, just a little friction because of you are seeing it from different perspective. And it's just cool. And you necessarily don't even need to call it crisis. But because you prophesied it, you are waiting for it. Say, marriage. My wife was telling me one time, said somebody was advising our marriage when we got married. I said, see, you have to be patient. You will suffer. You will suffer. Marriage. Just make up your mind that you suffer. And she was telling me, we're laughing about it. And sometimes, be careful, people are speaking from their own hurt and pain. Their own personal experience. Imagine she was ignorant of the word. She would not put it in her heart to be waiting for the pain. Anytime I do something, she's suspecting me if the pain has started. That's how some people are. Don't even allow your mothers, if they didn't have a good experience, to teach you about marriage. Say, see, as you marry like this, don't make your husband know anything where you get. You dey hear me, ba? That's the beginning of pain. Some of you now, you have your own, you want to start doing your like your mom. From skirt now, you have started carrying wrapper so that you hide the money at the edge. You are learning already. You know, I don't know if this story was true. I saw it on Facebook that a man lost his daughter because of 26,000. I don't know if it's true. 26,000. And his wife had 3.6 million. I don't know if it's true. I saw it on Facebook. 3.6 million. And the daughter died up for 26,000. Wickedness in high places. What can buy a daughter in this world? What amount of money? You know, I don't know if this other one is true. This thing sometimes used to be rumor. That a man was living in his wife's house. Did we hear that one? Is it true? And that the rent finished. Landlord now came and drove them. She followed her husband out from her house. I don't know. Is it true? Aye. The Lord deliver every woman here that is thinking of entering that realm in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't learn bad character. You know, some of your aunties will call you. You won't marry that guy. Wait till he gets. Not suffer like your mama suffer. You see how your mama they suffer. They are low key telling you that your father is an irresponsible man. And there is no lady here that don't like her father. Do we have any lady here that hate her father? At least see you today, you are a graduate. Most of you seated here, you are a graduate. Your father saw you through school. But now somebody probably in the capacity of your dad is coming and you are rejected. That means you don't like your dad.
I heard a pastor preaching one time in a bus. He said, young ladies, don't be wicked. You want iPhone 15, iPhone 17. Can your father buy it for you? All the properties in your home, if they sell it, will he buy it? Don't be wicked. I was laughing. A Cameroonian evangelist preaching in a bus. You know, there's a lady now in 200 level that is eyeing iPhone 17. You want to die early. You need Greek BSU 200 level. You know, if iPhone 17 was easy for you to get, you would have not been in this school, firstly, with all due respect. Your parents brought you here not because the school is a bad school, so that you can study. You are in 200 level and you are trusting even God. If angels laugh at you for iPhone 17, you too, just, not because of it, they don't even know the purpose of it. They want to be on the mirror and put the pink this thing so that they'll just start. That's the only thing. That's why they started selling them SR and they did not know. Low self-esteem. Tell somebody, I'm confident in the Lord. I'm confident in the Lord. I have rest in Christ Jesus. Some people, that's the reason why they want iPhone. No. Nothing. Nothing again. Snapchat and the rest. Nothing again. One time I was somewhere eating. I said that story to my leaders. And a lady carried the latest iPhone at that time. She carried it. If you see that lady where I sat down to eat, I was not married that time. She was just, and I saw people were just, you know, people were like, I just put my head down and said, oh God. I said, what a disaster. That's what I said in my heart. I said, what a mistake. She was just, if you see the lady, you can just tell how she was able to get such a phone. And I saw some people like, iPhone, they were admiring. The Bible said, do not rejoice at the prosperity of the wicked, of evil people. Somebody stole their way into power, into several realms of finances, and you are here admiring them. You will soon start stealing too. Even if you don't see the manifestation yet, know that you have been blessed in Christ Jesus. The end of the matter justifies the beginning. I was telling them in Pastor Peter's wedding yesterday in Abuja. I was particularly preaching at a point to the in-laws of the lady. I said, don't look down on this young man. It may not be the biggest wedding yet. But one day, he will take people to the biggest house. One of the biggest houses in this world. Some of you don't want to marry your daughter, start insulting the men. I was teaching, I said, those days, bride price was 5 tuba of yam. And oil. Am I lying? Today, they will tell you that buy something of 500,000 for this. When I saw Pastor Peter was buying, I was just looking at his head. Buy a box of this, buy that. And when you finish that and the wedding is not looking so glamorous, don't I say, this one, it's like we're just selling our child. We're just giving our child for free. Before you want to sell your child. And you see, sometimes in-laws say disgusting things. Very disgusting things. You know, it's a proof of poverty, truly. Disgusting, unbelievable things. And I was preaching on their head yesterday. I was telling everybody there. You look at a young man like Pastor Peter, you think he's a failure. How can he be a failure? How? Glory to God. Say, I know who I am. We don't raise failures. We are big men in Christ Jesus. We've been blessed with everything in Christ. Now, I'm teaching you not to forcefully enter into money, riches, by all means, physical. Don't do it. But, you know, when you understand, there's another perspective again to prosperity. You have been blessed in Christ Jesus. Listen, that should fuel your working heart. It should fuel your working heart. If you know you are blessed, will you work less? Or very, very well. Because you know you have been blessed. Meaning there are no two ways about it. You must have plenty of money in this world because you have been blessed in Christ Jesus. That's why you are working the way you are working.
Paul said, I labor more than they all, not because of my strength, but because of the grace of God. You see that? When he understood God's grace, he began to labor. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. We are not toiling like foolish people. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, woe to a man that wakes up in the morning and sleeps at night just to eat the bread of sorrow. Just to eat the bread of sorrow. Meaning, your entire being, you are working so hard, and the end of everything is, we just give you what to eat that day. Just small money to eat food. And he said, but blessed is the man. Blessed is the Lord's beloved, that he giveth bread even in sleep. You know, the blessing is like joining two wires and there's a spark. There's a spark. Something has happened in your spirit. When you catch that thing, you'll be sparked up through your life. Something needs to be, you know, it's more like connecting to a source higher than you, to a transformer, God Almighty. You are working like everybody, but your result is not like everybody. It's far more than everybody. Like Jacob. They think they are doing you. You are the one doing them. They don't know. Jacob was working small, small. He was taking over the man's business. The man said, I cannot pay you cash, but I'll be giving you the rams that are bad. He said, give me, no problem. Just give me. As he was giving Jacob was not just foolish. He was a good scientist. I hope you know. The Lord gave him an idea. He knew what to give to those rams. At a point, guess what Jacob did? He would take them to the stream to drink water. And he will now make sure that the reflection of green is seen in the water. As they are drinking, they are seeing green. They are drinking green. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. They are becoming like what they are drinking. All of a sudden, a man called Jacob made sure that rams in Israel, all of them were green color. Till today, we have not seen anybody that has made ram green color. He practiced that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you are blessed of the Lord does not mean you will not be a great scientist. See Jacob. All of them were green, the rams. Indicating that they were his, so that they will not cheat him at the end of everything. He took over the man's rams, everything he took over. They found that, the children found out that everything the father was giving him, that he felt were spoiled, were becoming okay. Because they were on the palms of Jacob. That's the power of the blessing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That anything that touches is blessed. You are full of life. He said, they that trust in the Lord shall be like God. That they can never be shaken. That's one side. He said, they shall be like trees planted by the riverside, whose roots shall never what? And whatsoever they do shall what? Prosper. Whatsoever. You wake up in the morning, you say, whatsoever I do. Have you been moved by that mentality recently? Anything I do prospers. If you wake up from this mentality to go and walk, to go and work hard, it must produce results. Whatsoever I do, prosper. You are not like, Father, give me money. No. You are being unnecessarily desperate. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. He loves you more than you love yourself. It's more like a father preparing the table for his child and say, the food is ready, eat. And the child is turning to the father, Daddy, please give me food. The father will feel embarrassed. I've prepared the table for you. I've told you to eat. Are you listening to me? Why are you looking up to me again and saying I should give you food? Somebody say, I've already been blessed in Christ Jesus. That anointed my, that prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, the Bible says. He said, that anointed my head with what? My cup. Can you feel the running over anointing? You can literally feel it. These things are real. He said, the things which are not seen are real. Remove that poverty mentality. It is not from God. Whenever God comes into a situation, there is overflow. He saw 5 bread, 2 fishes, many human beings. When he blessed God, you know, what did he do? He thanked God. You see what we're talking about? He knew, because God, Jesus knew that there is always enough. He knew he was the anointed of the Lord. Even though they say 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, he knew it's a lie. I have so much. I have so much. What is in your bank account? 2,000. But you have so much. It could be 2 billion. It could be 2 million. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And what do you do from 2,000? You don't complain. You kneel down and thank God. Father, I thank you for this 2,000. as long as you make him understand that he gave you the 2,000. You see, many people are living their lives not painting to God that he is in charge of their life. Thank him for the finger, you see his hand. God, you gave me 2,000. I want to return all the glory to you. Thank you for this 2,000. Do you know what you are doing in heaven? You are telling God he gave you the money. You are acknowledging that he is the one that gave you. And of course, because of that, you say, Lord, I'm going to give back to you in my own little way. As you do that, heaven responds. That is why he said, if you tithe to me, he said in the book of Malachi, he said, I will open the windows of heaven. He said, and I will bless you with a blessing that your entire household. You know, some people may say Christians tithe, but they don't see results. Because Christians have wrong expectations. Because of ignorance. My spiritual father told me before, he said the blessing of tithing is not 4,000 for 2,000. The blessing of tithing is not 10,000 for 5,000. Tithing is not Niger bet. Listen, many people are expecting God to bless them times 2 of their money when they tithe. He can start like that, but that's not the blessing of tithing. He may encourage you with a little finances when you tithe, but that's not it. That you are not seeing instant money yet when you tithe does not mean God is not alive. He's actually calling you to a deeper realm. Because it is men with ideas that rule the world. So this is what he said. He said, if you tithe to me, he said, I'll bless you with a blessing. I'll open the windows first. Now, a window is not a door. You don't walk through a window. You see through a window. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That simply means God is saying that when you tithe, I'm going to give you an idea. Somebody shout idea. That you will use, you know, and have so much money that your household. Because if the blessing of tithing is 10,000 for 5,000, can your pocket take 10,000? Yes. Can your bank account take me 10 million? Yes. But the blessing is telling you, will give you as a response to your tithing, is a blessing that your entire household cannot contain. That can never be 10 million. And that must come from an idea. I prophesy, God is giving you an idea. An idea that you sit in your house, it will be producing money. Tell somebody, have impetus, brother. Have some impetus. Have some impetus. He said, I've not given you the spirit of fear again, but the spirit of what? Sound mind. Have some impetus. You deserve the best. Say, I deserve the best. I deserve the best. I deserve it. Come on, you deserve it. Give God some credit. He's your father. More like the king, that the king's son is outside begging to enter into the palace. A king's son begging to enter into the palace. Why? Begging is a taboo. If the king's son will just probably just, you know, I think we saw that in Galatians 4:17. Is it 4:7? 4:17. Let's see it very briefly. There's a part of scripture that explains this. 7. He said, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are not a slave. You can't be begging at the front when you are a king's son. It is slaves that beg. Please allow me to enter into the palace. Please. No! There are some people that are begging God at the courts, at the gates. They say, Father, please open your gate. We want to come into your presence. You can't be coming into the presence now. You are in the presence. Hebrews 13:10. Let's see very briefly. I hope I'm right. Hebrews 13:10. 13:5. Verse 5. Alright. Let your conduct be without what? Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never what? So don't beg for the presence. You are always in God's presence. He said, I will never what? Leave you. I will never what? Forsake you. You've got the presence of God. Eternally. You don't beg for the presence of God. Father, please bring down your presence. The presence is here already. Because he said, I will never leave you. Take God by his word. That's faith. God does not like beggars. He's not pleased by beggars. When you beg God, you are embarrassing him as a son. You are embarrassing him. And that's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't be in faith and be begging at the same time. Faith is confident. Faith is very confident. It is, he says, we are set so that we may boldly speak. Beggars don't boldly speak. They are scared. Say, I'm a son. Shout it out. Say, I'm a son.
I'm a son.
I'm not a beggar.
I'm not a beggar.
He said, I've given you the spirit to not to fear again, but the spirit of what? Sound mind. The spirit of what? Power. And the spirit of what? Unbelief prays to the Father for what he already done. Faith thanks God for what he has done. Unbelief prays to the Father for what he has already done. Sometimes praying is not enough. Like I said, the Lord told the disciples, he taught the disciples how to pray. People can be praying wrongly. Father, give me. Father, give me. That's unbelief speaking. Faith thanks the Lord already for what he has already done in Christ Jesus. Unbelief makes God look like a liar. And that's why he's not pleased, like I just rightly said. It makes God to look like a liar. And God is not a liar. In 1 John 5 and 10, he says these words to us. 1 John 5 and 10. Let's read together. He who believes in the Son of God has what? He who does not believe God has made him
liar.
Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. If you don't believe God, you make him what? A liar. Unbelief makes God look like a liar. And he's not pleased by that. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, earnestness can be a blessing. You know what earnestness means? People that pray, you know, sometimes, let me not say people that pray so that it doesn't look bad to you. Sometimes you see people praying so earnestly, Father, Father, and everybody can pray like that sometimes. If you are not praying earnestly, with your faith anchored on God's word, it is just a waste of time. It is not a proof of faith. Alright? Your mentality must be right before you started praying. You can be praying so earnestly wrongly. If you are not anchored, your faith is not anchored on God's word. Your belief is not anchored on God's word. Are you listening to me? For instance, Elijah's prayer was right. Because he was praying so earnestly, but his prayer, his earnestness was anchored on God's word. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It was anchored on God's word. And that's why the Bible helps us to understand something in the book of Hebrews. It said Elijah was a man of like passions like we. To teach us about prayer. A man of like the same passion we have. Meaning Elijah had fears. Do you know Elijah ran away from the woman? Huh? He ran away. He had fears. You know when we talk about Elijah, some people think the man never feared. Everybody that saw Elijah was running. Listen, Elijah ran from a woman. He ran away. God's mighty prophet. The Bible says he's a man of like passions like us. Meaning he was hungry. There was a time he was very hungry. Bed. God knew that he would not go. God sent bed to give him food. He did not stand up by supernatural power and started trekking. He was hungry. He could not walk again. God gave him food through bed. A man of like passions like ours. But the Bible said, what we should learn is that beyond those things that Elijah had like us, and he prayed earnestly. Okay, let's read together. Elijah was a man with what? A nature like ours. And he what? Prayed earnestly that it would not what? Rain. And it did not rain on the land for what? 3 years and 6 months. 3 years and 6 months. When he was okay, then he came back. You see all these people thinking that they are, you know, we go to some state, they say there are people that bring rain and stop rain. And even Christians are admiring them. They admire them. Say, that man, no joke with her, they stop rain. Oh. Do you know who you are? Before anybody ever stopped rain, are you seeing that Elijah stopped rain in scripture? God did it through Elijah. And God is yesterday what? Today what? Forever what? And no, somebody asked a question. You say, why would God allow unbelievers to stop rain? The earth has he given to the sons of men, not to Christians, sons of men. Meaning he has given the earth to be in charge of humanity. If you allow Satan to be in charge, he will cause rain to fall and not fall. We must be the one to tell Satan, get out. We are the ones that determine rain to fall. Are you people getting out trying to explain to you? Because the earth has he given to the sons of men. Are you listening to me? And it did not rain. The Bible said that, and that's why the Bible now later said the earnest, heartfelt, continuous prayer of the righteous is that it caused what? Tremendous power to be made available.
tap your neighbor. I sense some unbelief. Some of you look so much like unbelievers. Hit destiny at her shoulder. There's unbelief look. The Bible said if you pray earnestly, heartfelt, continuous, that power will be made available. You want to see mommy healed? Pray earnestly. Heartfelt. Pray knowing that you are taking there is no for an answer because a yes has been given already. A young man called me and said, "Sir, I prayed for my dad." It was a very funny young man. He called me in the middle. I pick his call 3 a.m. because, in fact, I pick a lot of people. Anybody that is in this, just call me. I pick. There's no time I don't pick up. He said, "Sir, I prayed for my dad." Firstly, I told him, pray for your dad every day 2 hours. He started the first day. The next day, he said, "Sir, the case is seeming worse." I said, "Seeming worse? How? Did you pray?" "Yes, sir." "Why are you not scared?" I said, "Pray again today and thank the Lord for what he did yesterday." He prayed again. He said, "Sir, that is better now." His response, he's giving me the good testimony and the bad testimony. Then in the evening, "Sir, guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "Did you see this? BP is going up and down again." I said, "Maybe you prayed before." He said, "Yes." I said, "Pray again 2 hours today. Thank him again. Thank God." You know some people, the way they pray, "Father, I want to thank you." Not even thank you. I'm even doing it well. "Father, make my mother well. 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 Oh, Father, make my mother well. Father, God, oh, please. What will the enemy say? What do people from my father's side say? Oh, God, you make them to laugh at us." Don't be telling God that kind of thing. He's not that kind of person. Say, "God, if my mother died, they will start mocking me. The second wife will push us from the house. Oh God, please." No, that's not God. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? You're embarrassing him. He loves you. Most people think that they love themselves more than God loves them. The way God loves you, you have not started loving yourself. You have not even somebody that gave himself for your life. Somebody that gave himself for you. You are not making him understand why he should answer your prayer. The funniest people are the ones that give God nice name for him to answer their prayer. They want to start praying. I'm not saying don't hate God, but some of you that hate God because you want him to do something. You see them. "You are the father of the father. You are the this. You are," they will name all the 250 names. Know that God loves you. You see, he's more than willing to do it for you than you want it to be done for yourself. How many of you know the number of hair on your head? The way you love yourself, you should know. How many head? Do you know when one fell? Anybody? You could tell the number 365 fell yesterday morning. You can tell? The Bible says God knows the number of hair on our head. All of us seated here. God knows the number of hair on your head. You see that? If he knows the number of hair, I say on your head, I'm not talking about your this thing, your human hair you put. Now, on your own head, not this type Flora put on her head. The normal hair he gave you, he knows. And I'm sure he still took time to count this one too. He knows the number of hair on your head. Do you know? So why are you crying to him and making him understand that I should help you? "God, please. Please. Please, Jesus, please. Let mommy not die, God, I beg." That's not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of unbelief. You're embarrassing God. You're embarrassing him. Then when they pray, "Father, heal my mother," the next day, guess what they say? "Father, heal my mother." "Father," the next day again, "Father, heal my mother." For them, the mother is not healed till the day she's healed. Then when the mother is now physically now, "Father, thank you, my mother is healed." It's wrong. That's a wrong way to pray. Listen to what the Bible said about prayer in Mark 12. He said, when you pray, are you listening? When you pray, believing you have received, then you shall have. Meaning there is no way you should finish prayer without receiving in prayer. When you pray, believing you have received. Meaning you have not finished prayer until you have received.
He said, then you shall have. Meaning from the first day you prayed, you should thank the Lord, because while you prayed, you received. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That when we pray, He what? Answers us. You know, play the card well. There are laws in the realm of the spirit. That's why He taught us how to pray. Because some people can pray wrongly. And that's why they will tag Him. Oh, God is not a faithful God. The way you prayed matters. It matters because He has given the earth to the sons of men. I tell you the truth. What you want from the earth is what you receive. You can use God's word to make your life beautiful. Paint the picture you want. He has given you the blueprint. When I tell people I can never be broke in my life, it's not because I'm being proud. I'm responding to the word of God. I know eventually there is nothing I cannot buy. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Eventually, because the end justifies the beginning. It's too late to be broke. Eventually, there is nothing in this world that I will look at and not buy. It will not take me 10 seconds. I was watching one movie. The rich man just came. He just parked, and a woman came with a nice car with her child. He now asks, I like your car. How much is the car? She said, then he now signed the check. Times two of the money I gave her. He said he likes this color especially. And she said, oh, baby, come outside. Let's leave. It's not our car anymore. That's how the guy bought the car. I said to myself, I'll never be broke in my life. Now, I'm not talking about, that's not what I'm admiring. No. I say, oh, me too, I'll do that kind of thing. I'm talking about, we want to go for a crusade. In Vandikia. Are you listening to me? And they say the bill is 5 million. We're going to have a mega crusade. There will be lights everywhere so that no demon will come around and not be seen. Are you people getting what I'm saying? Security personnel everywhere. To plug off the head of any Boko Haram. Or Fulani. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Gathered everywhere. And they tell me my bill is 5 million. I don't want to think twice. I just want to send it 5.5. And say, you take 500 for just welfare. And make that crusade wonderful. And you see, there is no amount. You know, when we talk like this, people are like, for crusade, 5.5. Somebody will sit down and go and do the remaining useless wedding. They'll be pouring dollars and matching it. Some people will be clapping. He get money. You don't know the value of souls. The Bible says, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? A soul. What can a man offer in exchange of one soul? For God so loved the world that He gave His word. Only be. This is how much a soul is important though. So there is no amount of money we cannot offer for a soul. Because what can a man offer in the essence of what? So there is no amount of money that church cannot offer. Like in Kabod now, we're going to kill money for. We'll kill money for souls. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? This is at the beginning. Subsequently, we'll put the billboard in every street. And it's still not enough. We'll just carry the flies and go and pour it in Wadata. Pour it in high level. It's worth it. We can even pour the fly with 2,000 behind it. Because what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? The 2,000 is transport for the meeting. Tell somebody it's still not enough. Like we're applying for Kabul, we say we'll put buses everywhere in the town. Let people come. Yes, it will cost us a lot of money, but we'll do it. Yes, because what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? They say, Pastor, we want to go to Okpoga and do one crusade. It will cost us 6 million. We send 7 million. For the person that brought the message, we say take 500. And add 500 for the person coordinating the meeting. I will not think about it. We have buses everywhere to transport people for all, like PGC now. They are going to secondary school. We can give them like 5 buses. So that in a day, they are going to 5 secondary school or 10 buses. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Preaching the gospel, catching them young. You catch them young from secondary school. Like we are doing right now. So that none of them will become cultists. None of them will become prostitutes. We meet them from just one, they are blasting in tongues. You know, one time I was showing one of my friend in BSU. Many years ago, they were doing this thing for cultism. What do they call it? This talk. orientation for courtism. I said, listen, we have mind. And you are hiding your gospel. You are hiding gospel. I told my friend, if I was there, I would have entered that same class. I said, excuse me, can I preach Jesus? And I'll start talking. You must go and win. Go and win. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said the earnest expectation of creation awaits what? Your manifestation. Many people will miss it if you don't go and preach to them. God is banking on you. Go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. You are coming to meeting late. You are crying in church. Go and preach the gospel. Since they did not visit me, I will not come to church. Go and preach the gospel. You are 5 years in church with pampers. Go and preach the gospel. You know those kind of people in church? They are 10 years. Something that they will be making church easy. They are still wearing pampers. 10 years in God's kingdom. How are they wearing pampers? Pastor, my chorister, he eyeing me. I can't come to that church again. See, old man with pampers. People are winning souls. They are offended with the work of God. Say to you, you have mind. Say, I'm not going to the church again. What she did really pain me. I'm not going again. See, See, with the thing that happened to you, the thing Satan wanted to achieve in it is so that you will not come to church. Can't you see it? At the end of everything, so that you will not come to church. If you stop the church now, who are you doing? You are going to work, though sometimes they will insult you and your generation. You see, say, sir, you will go and write apology letter to your boss because of 110K. Sir, forgive me. I will never make you to insult me again in my life. In fact, the insult, I learned something from the insult. You inspired me. But in church, you want to talk your mind. Can't you see that Satan is moving through you? He's manifesting. You just see the people misbehaving. That's the devil. I know his hand. I know his hand. Tell somebody, wake up.
Wake up.
Tell somebody, wake up.
Wake up.
I will never go to church again. They say, why? My pastor in my former church, he said this thing to me. I will never go. But you are going to walk. You are just a hypocrite. Those children are really preaching. I want to end now. Are you ready?
Yes.
The issue is this. God is not withholding anything from us. It is we that are failing to recognize what He has already given to us. Now think of a father. This example I wrote. Gives his daughter or his son a wrapped gift. Are we together? And so, when he gives this wrapped gift to his daughter or his son, instead of the son or the daughter to unwrap the gift and begin to enjoy the gift, the son and the daughter begins to, they are even crying and saying, give me my gift, give me my gift. How many of you feel so bad as a father? You wrap a gift and give your child and the child is crying for gift. What is the child supposed to do? Unwrap the gift and begin to use it. But imagine the child is crying again. Will you be pleased? You'll be embarrassed as a father. Isn't it? That's what most people do in prayer. When you know you have received from God, what do? You thank God. You thank Him. The Bible says that to us in Philippians 4. I think verse 13. I want us to read together. Verse 6. Let's read together. Be anxious for
nothing.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Everything.
Let your request be what?
Everything.
Even if you want to request something, the Bible said, even though you are praying with so much supplication, He said, mix it with thanksgiving. Meaning at the end of your prayer, there should be thanksgiving. Because while you pray, you believe you have what? Receive. You must receive when you are done praying. So if you truly receive in the place of prayer, you should thank God at the end. Are you listening to me? One more character. Abraham in Romans 4:20. From verse 22 to verse 21. 20 to 21. He did not waver. This is Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief.
but was what? Strengthened in faith, giving what? It is unbelief that will make you to be shaky. But he gave glory to God. He thanked the Father. He gave thanks to God. Next part of scripture. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was only able to what? Perform. That God can do what he has said. Tell somebody, I will not be in unbelief. I will never walk in unbelief. I will never stagger through unbelief. Never. Refuse to stagger. In the name of Jesus. One other story, it was Paul and Silas in the prison. While they were in the prison, the Bible said they began to thank God and praise God. They did not look at the prison and started crying. They began to thank God. And as they were thanking God, they instead of, you know, when imagine they were crying and complaining, they would be strengthening the power of the devil over them. If they were begging, they would be strengthening the power of the government over them. But they were thanking God. And they were now strengthened. They were now more like expanding the power of God to be at work manifestly in their life. The Bible said the prison began to shake. While it was shaking, their chains fell off. That's what the Bible said. Why? They were thanking God in the depths of their problem. They were not crying. They were not complaining. They were thanking. Learn to thank God in the deepest part of your problem. No matter how painful the problem is, what do? You thank God. Because when you begin to thank God in the depth of your problem, you are affirming your faith to God. Are you listening to me? And you will see a performance. If you have been blessed, shout glory. You are not getting blessed. You have been blessed. This morning while I was coming to church, I was telling myself, I don't know whether I was consoling myself. I don't know whether I was just speaking it or more like a covenant. I was more like promising myself. I said, as long as I live, I will never raise any failure under me. Do you believe that too? I said, no failure will rise under me as a pastor, as a man of God. You know, one beautiful thing I like to do sometimes when I sit down, I imagine church sometimes. And I know we are more filled with younger people. There are more younger people here than elderly people. And sometimes you can ignore what God is doing because you see people very, very young. But eventually, every old person was once a young person. Are we together? Every old person today was what? Once a young person. Alright? And tomorrow, of course, we're going to see the glory of God finding expression through these young ones. Many years ago, I was talking with somebody in BSU while we're eating. I said, one of the things I want to do, which we're going to do next year by God's grace, I said, I will make sure I sponsor the transportation of students everywhere in Benue State as long as I have a church here to be coming to church every Sunday, which we are doing. And he said, will that not be too stressful? It will limit you from doing some things in church. Now, true, it may. Are we together? At the status quo. Because instead of focusing on maybe doing some things in church, you are focusing on what? Transportation. But I said to him eventually, I said, I learned it from the little I started. I started raising pastors those days. I will give them their transport to and fro. But today they are down doing the bigger things in the ministry. I said, I will extend that to the whole congregation. If we bring people to church, they may look like they are taking advantage of us. Some of them will tell you, I don't have transport, no problem. When the word of God hits their spirit, and God takes them to high places, they are the people that will buy buses for other students. It's more like sowing your seeds right now. Seeds, when you are sowing seeds, it's not a nice moment. Anybody who sows seed is just something that is very ignorable. You just put the seed close. You don't even know when it will start growing. Are we together? You are just sowing the seeds. Why nowadays are sowing the seeds? And of course, we know without any doubt in our heart that all of you seated here, especially the young people, you will rise up to become influential people. Knowing that you are already blessed. Not getting blessed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Already blessed. Working hard towards it. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Most of you, your days of earning over a million has come. You receive it like you believe it. I say your days of earning over a million, not yearly, monthly, it has come. That the Lord is helping you think in a certain way. That will help you have a certain skill. That will make men and women look for you. That the Lord will see an idea in your head.
that will make you begin to walk towards a certain career, a certain skill, that will make nations come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your days of lack are over. Amen. Your days of begging are over. Amen. I declare you are in your days of prosperity. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just like it belongs to the Father, I declare the gold are yours. I declare the cattle are yours. Amen. I declare the cattle over the thousand hills are yours in the name of Jesus. Walk, begin to walk in your purchased possession. Amen. Begin to enjoy the glory of God. Amen. Some of you, as your hands are open, the Lord is bringing help to you. Amen. He's bringing help to you. Amen. Unmerited favor to you. Amen. The finances you need to start, the Lord is bringing it to you. Amen. Somehow beyond our understanding, somehow beyond human phantom, the Lord is bringing help. I said the Lord is bringing help. I said the Lord is bringing help. In the name of Jesus. And today I declare, everyone under the sound of my voice, if you are here trusting God for an opening in a certain career, it has happened in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you are here and you have been looking for a job, in the name of Jesus. For some of you, the Lord is just speaking to me. Say, I will tell them, Simon, I will instruct them right now to go and add something or remove something from their CV. In fact, for some, the Lord has been saying, work on your CV. But you are taking that instruction for nothing. You are joking with the instruction. He has been, you know, casually speaking to you, even though his voice is not casual. He said, go and work on that CV. Go and rearrange that CV and put it again at your bio, in your bio. The Lord is speaking to you right now. And as you do it, it will work like magic. It will work like magic. All of a sudden, the person that has been looking for you will find you in the name of Jesus. You know, I heard a story. Very inspiring story before I keep on praying. Pastor was the one sharing of a lady who writes that she woke up one night and said she must get a job. And she began to apply on LinkedIn. She applied through the whole night till she got a job of over $1,000 monthly. $1,000. She's a writer. $1,000. The fire was so hot, she couldn't stop applying. She was just applying. That same night she got a job. As she applied, they replied her. All of a sudden, ask her a few questions, you got the job. Are you seeing that fire? Is somebody ready for such a fire today? There are some of you who have been advising you. Where is the CV? Sir, I have been arranging the CV. I don't just know. Sir, I've not had time to really rearrange it. You really want to leave this level? Church, you really want to leave this level? Are you okay with this present financial level? How many of you want a higher financial level? You have to take responsibility of your life. For some of you, learning skills, there's a learn it from the depth of your heart. Learn it with the whole of you. Yes, and talk about it. Yes, we're talking about destiny here. God wants to bring you to a place that you have financial freedom. Financial freedom. This is not His best for you. But you have to be rightly positioned. Rightly positioned. Through a skill. Through arranging your life. Rightly positioned. And I declare the Lord is inspiring you to be rightly positioned in the name of Jesus. And for some of you under the sound of my voice, what you think is your best is only the beginning. The Lord is speaking, go and prepare yourself again. Because what is coming will not just be 500,000 monthly. We are talking about 2 million monthly. The Lord will bring you to that realm in the name of Jesus. Now lastly, before we go, God is not wicked. He's a good father. God cannot look at our country and say, because of our country, you people will become failures. No. He said, darkness may cover the earth. He says, gross darkness the people. He said, but upon you Christians shall the glory of God rise. I tell you, even in this season, God can give you something that will make nations look for you. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? He can give you a skill. He can see something in your heart that will make people in high places begin to look for you. And that's what we meant for right to be rightly positioned. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that you are standing rightly positioned in the name of Jesus. I declare in that family that nobody has built a house. you will build that house in the name of Jesus. That yoke of poverty is broken because of you in the name of Jesus. You will drive that car and nothing will happen to you in the name of Jesus. You will build that mansion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we pray in tongues for a while? Just pray in tongues, inside and outside. Rabako sabakatalabaya. Shabako siyabakatalabaya kaba. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Shabakana baba 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 baba. Stir this fire you have received tonight, this anointing upon your life, stir it up. Who says men make it only through fraud? Who says that? Abraham did not make it by fraud. Isaac did not make it by fraud. Jacob did not. Who says that? Kabbalah Tabayakaba. The God of Abraham is your God. The God of Isaac and Jacob. The God of Solomon is your God. Same God. Same God. Same God. Lord, there is more. Lord, there is more in you. Go ahead and pray. Somebody pray. Is yesterday the same, today and forever the same? Shabakos yabakatala bayakaba. Shabakatol yabakatala bayakaba. Somebody lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Thank you, Jesus. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, lift your voices and pray. Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai, from the rising of the sun. Shabakos yabakatalabaya. Your name is to be hallowed. Holia kapando shabakata la bragadia basu katalia bakatos. Librande kabalea bakata blagadia barakatalia bakato bariagabaya. In God, it is always a new beginning. God does not need anything from your past to make your future bright. He needs nothing from your past. He needs nothing from your mistakes to make your future bright. In God, it is always a new beginning in God. Christ is the end of the old chapter and the beginning of the new. Somebody pray with conviction. Pray knowing that everything is now new. Pray knowing that the same God of Abraham is your God. Abraham staggered not because of unbelief. He staggered not. He staggered not. He believed the promise of God. Stand on the promise of God tonight. Stand on the promise of God. The Bible says, is there hope for a tree that is dried? A wood that is dry? A wood that has been plucked out that is dry? The Bible says, there is no hope, but at the scent of water, at the scent of God Almighty, the word of God on that situation, the Bible says, thy board will rise. It's not too late for God to do something. Somebody pray. It is not too late. It is not too late. If he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. He can make you the first. He can do it. Shabakatalabaya kataliya bakatoya. Lebanana baba 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 ba
In God, it is always a new beginning. With God, all things are possible. Our great patriarch of faith, Bessie Dahusa, he said, if there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer. He said, when your faith says yes, God cannot say no. I don't know, but some of you are praying like you have somebody somewhere that can help you. You are praying like you have some connections that can help you. If you know God is your ultimate, if you know God is your all and all, there is a way you pray. He's the one that lifts men from lowly places and brings them into high places. The psalmist says, he's my glory and the lifter of my head. If you know God is your glory, if you know he's the lifter of your head, I want you to open up your spirit. Open up your mouth and pray. Shapakata la balakata ya bakata. Eshana na na mana katalia bakata. Eshaba la kata la kada kada kadiya kabala kata. Lord, outside you I have no one. Without you I can do nothing. Shana bakata ya bakata la baya kada bala kata. Shana na 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 baya kaba. In 5 minutes, open your mouth and pray. Somebody pray, pray. Somebody pray, 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 pray. In 5 minutes, open your mouth, blessing tongues. Shaka bakata ya kabaya. Shaka baya kabaya. Via prayer, God has given us the opportunity to arrange our lives. Via prayer, He has given us the opportunity to arrange our lives. Arrange your life by prayer tonight. He said, ask and it's, knock and the door shall be opened. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Somebody carry one matter, that major matter in your house, in your life. Somebody, I want you to highlight it before God in the realm of the spirit. That one thing. He said, test and see that the Lord is good. That one thing that has been problematic. I want you to highlight it in your spirit. And pray, tell the Lord, this is it. Tell the Lord, take it out in the name of Jesus. Test and see that the Lord is good. Test and see. Test and see. He said, if you seek me with the whole of your heart. Shana bakata la baya kaba ya kaba ya kaba ba 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 ba. Oh.
Ebenezer, hiya, ya, 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 ya. It say unto men we speaketh nonsense, but in the realm of the spirit we utter mysteries. For some connecting online, let the power of God touch you people too. Let it touch daddy on that sick bed, mommy on that sick bed, the eyes and legs of daddy, every part of your body that is wounded, that is sick. The Lord begins to touch you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Before we sit down, the Lord has been stirring from my heart. I think, was it 2 days back? If not yesterday, in the middle of the night, some people saw one strange post on my WhatsApp. I don't know if you discovered. I wrote, no death. Or declare life. Because I began to sense so strong an atmosphere of death. And so I declare in the name of Jesus over you all, over your families, over your colleagues, over your extended families, over everybody that is dear to you, that there is no death. I declare life and no death. Over those traveling back even today, life and no death. It is not time in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. That yoke of death, that spirit of death, that dirty atmosphere of death that is coming little by little through sicknesses, that is painting pictures of death in your mind, making you feel like you will lose somebody, bringing that atmosphere of fear, Lord, in the name above all names, we do away with that atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We declare life. I'm seeing somebody that they diagnose of heart situation. I say your heart is okay. Receive healing now. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, the Bible says, by his stripes you were made whole. And so this is an end to every spirit of infirmity on your body, in your body, in the name of Jesus. For a situation, I'm praying for somebody who connected online. The person is watching. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw men sat down saying that this man would not live. He shall die and not live. But Lord, we stand on your word tonight. And we are declaring over the dad of this young man watching tonight. We are saying on that hospital bed, let angels touch him now. Now, now. In the name of Jesus, and dispel every spirit of darkness. Every man gathered anywhere in any part of the world, may they be disgraced and put to shame. By the fire of your judgment tonight. In the name of Jesus. You shall live and not die. You see, I've not declared something like this before, but the Lord just spoke to me to declare that you will hear stories for some of you here. I can't tell who you are, but under the sound of my voice, if anybody has sat down somewhere and said it's your time, you will hear stories. You will hear that men are checking out. And your spirit will tell you it's on your account. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In this season, any blood-sucking demon standing your way, the Lord removes them with the bulldozer of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. You shall live to declare the works of the Lord. With long life, He has satisfied you. You already have the certificate for long life. you shall live very long in the name of Jesus. And to every business in this place, under the sound of my voice, that is dead, that is looking dead, Lord, I declare as a prophet over your children that right now there is life in those businesses. There is life in those businesses. There is life in those businesses. They go back again and they see the wonders of our God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord will set to you early. He will set to you early. I declare speed for some of you. Speed. Supernatural speed. Supernatural speed. Supernatural speed. You will overtake. And finally, I declare, because I want this to happen as a prophet, that because you have served the Lord faithfully, and because you are serving the Lord will give you a testimony this season that will make others that mocked you and said, "Where is your God?" rise up and said, "Indeed, this one has been done for this one because of the Lord. He is turning things around. What the enemy meant for evil, he has turned it around. He has turned it around. He has turned it around. In the name of Jesus." Somebody rise up and shout glory. Shout glory. Shout glory. Hallelujah.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.